today on Telling the Truth with Stuart, Jill, and Pete Briscoe.
I can't live with or without you. Does that sound like marriage? Sounds like marriage sometimes, right? I can't imagine living life without you. And then there's days that I just can't live with you. I can't live with you or without you. I think another U2 song we could have done is I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For. That would be a good marriage song too. Because marriage is magnificent. Marriage is beautiful. Marriage is one of God's best ideas. And marriage is really hard and complicated and complex and challenging, but it's worth it. We're going to dive in on this beautiful relationship called marriage.
Coming up, Pete Briscoe starts a new series about the secrets to a successful marriage. It's a series everyone who's married or wants to be married needs to hear. And Pete gets started in just a bit. What, in your mind, makes a great marriage? And how do you get there? In a new 6-message series, Pete Briscoe shows you some secrets to a successful marriage. This special series is our way of saying thanks for your donation to help Telling the Truth stay on the air, helping you and others around the world experience life in Christ. Call today, 1-800-889-5388, and request Secrets to a Successful Marriage when you give. 1-800-889-5388. Here's Pete now with his message, Merging Two Kingdoms.
All right, grab your Bible and open to Matthew chapter 18 and Matthew chapter 20. There is an inbred attitude that we all have that destroys marriages. An inbred attitude. It's an attitude we are born with. That we all have, that if left alone will destroy a marriage. It's subtle, but it's deadly. It's really easy to see in other people and extremely difficult to see in ourselves. Sometimes the Holy Spirit has to point it out. I saw it yesterday on the road. I was driving home and I saw road rage. I've heard about road rage. I've never actually experienced it personally. When I told Libby about this, she said, was the rage directed at you? I said, no, it was directed at someone else. She goes, okay, let's hear the rest of the story. Yeah, and I was driving along the road, and I heard someone yelling and screaming, and I looked back behind me, and there was a big black pickup truck, brand new, and the guy who was driving the truck was just screaming at the guy next to him in a little white car. And the guy in the car was just trying to get away, and so the truck drove his car and parked it sideways across two lanes. This is in rush hour traffic. So the guy couldn't get past him. He's just yelling and screaming at him. And I'm just kind of going, whoa. The young man in the white car kind of wheeled around and got around him and went to the middle lane and all the way up to the stoplight. Of course, the truck pulled up next to him at the stoplight. I was behind the truck about 200 yards. I wasn't getting any closer. I saw him roll down his window and spit all over the side of the white car, yelling, screaming, using various finger gestures. The young man in the car was foolish, I thought. He rolled down his window, and they really started to go at it. The guy in the truck implored him to pull into the parking lot, and I found myself praying that he wouldn't because the guy in the truck would have ripped him to shreds. It was terrifying. It's ugly. And it's an extreme example of this attitude that I'm going to describe for you today. It's an inbred attitude. We all have it, and if left alone, it destroys marriages. The attitude goes like this. Inside my circle, I'm in charge. Inside my circle, I'm in charge. The guy in the truck, his circle went all the way around his truck. Anything inside his circle, he was in charge. We need a circle. Inside my circle, I'm in charge. You see this attitude in your youth sports coaches. I mean, have you ever run across one of these youth sports coaches? And inside his youth sports world, inside his team, he's in charge. Don't cross him. You see it in your management at work sometimes. You see it in room moms at school. I've got my little kingdom, and inside my kingdom, I'm in charge. Don't mess with me here. Out there, that's your stuff. In here, it's mine. I say that it's inbred because it goes back to the very origins of humanity. And in fact, it even goes back before that. One day in heaven, we have little glimpses of this in Scripture, but one day in heaven, God had the idea to create an angel. And he, in his creative magnificence, created an angel, and it was spectacular. It was awesome. And he created other angels, and they were beautiful, and they were powerful, and they were angelic. One day, one of these angels walked past a mirror. Wow! Look at me, he thought. I'm spectacular. In fact, I'm so impressive, I think I could run this place. It did not go well for him. He was cast out of heaven. His name now is Lucifer. It was then too. And ever since then, he's been trying to convince people if they would just draw a circle around themselves, they could be in charge too. Then God created mankind, male and female. He created them. In his image, he created us. Angels weren't even created in his image, but we as humans are cut out of his cloth, created in his image. And one day in the garden, there was a conversation between Adam and Eve. And Eve said, hey, Adam, he said that if we eat this, we will have all the knowledge of good and evil that we need. If we eat this, we could run this place. We just introduced a second circle, didn't we? We have the Adam circle, and we have an Eve circle, and we have two people and two circles. If you go on reading in the Genesis account, you see what happens next is the curse comes on Adam and Eve. God knows exactly what they're doing. He told them, don't eat of that tree. They chose to. And so they too were cast out this time of the garden. But before they were cast out, God said, there's going to be consequences to this choice that you've made, and we're still reaping the consequences today. One of the things he said to Eve, he said, Eve, your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. The word desire there means the desire to control. You will try to control this relationship, and he will try to control you. And that's been happening ever since. And so now we have Eve, the queen of her domain. And we have Adam, the king of his domain. And inside my circle, I'm in charge. And as long as this attitude persists, marriages suffer. Sometime later, a little boy is born. He is born in Adam. Everyone is born into this word, in Adam. We are born from Adam. So we have the consequences of Adam's sin in us. And it doesn't take long for us to see this little circle concept in a little boy. Maybe it's Christmas when he's 3 years old or his third birthday or something like that. And mom and dad give him a nice big red truck. And he's so excited. And inside his little circle, he's playing with his little truck. And then some unsuspecting other little boy in Adam comes over and says, I want to play with that, and takes the little red truck. What happens? No, that's mine! You just came into my circle. Get out. In here, I'm in charge. I mean, as little kids, we see it, don't we? And then we start growing up. And basically what we're doing through middle school and high school is we're trying to establish our circle. We're trying to establish our boundaries. We're trying to expand it as much as possible. We want more and more influence. We want more and more power. We want more and more popularity. Some of us have very small circles. Some of us have very large circles. Regardless of the size, inside here, I'm in charge. One day, a little boy meets a little girl. Now, a little girl's been growing up with the same attitude. Mine, 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 all the way through middle school and high school, creating her boundaries, establishing her little kingdom. But one day, they meet each other. They're attracted to each other. They like each other. They want to get together. So they decide to get married. And on the wedding day, they stand there before God and witnesses. And he holds her hands, looks deeply into her eyes, and he thinks, I can't wait for the honeymoon. That's actually what he's thinking. Outside of that, he also thinks, you, my damsel in distress, are now safe. I, your king, will care for you. You will be my most loyal subject. Just do what I say. She stands holding his hands, looking into his eyes. And this is what she's thinking. If you think you're bringing that ugly dorm furniture into my house, you got another thing coming. And we have right here on the wedding day what I will call a clash of clans. It's exactly what we have, do we not? We have two clans. We have a kingdom here and we have a kingdom here. And we are bringing two kingdoms together. And here's what I have noticed. I've noticed that when those two kingdoms overlap, there is tension. Because the only thing that's true about this kingdom is whatever happens here, I'm in charge. Can you see how this attitude can destroy a marriage before it even gets started? So what do we do?
How do two individuals learn to live as one in marriage? It's so easy, right? If it were that easy, it wouldn't be the focus on today's Telling the Truth. Pete has much more to tell you coming up. Did you know with your smartphone, you can hear Telling the Truth daily programs? Get the Telling the Truth mobile app today. You can listen to messages, read and comment on Briscoe devotions, find relevant teaching on what you're experiencing, and share your thoughts and prayers on the community wall. Find the Telling the Truth app in your app store or at tellingthetruth.org. And remember, you can give to support Telling the Truth through your mobile app or text when you send TTT to 313131. Text TTT to 313131. Let's hear more now from Pete.
The only thing that's true about this kingdom is whatever happens here, I'm in charge. Can you see how this attitude can destroy a marriage before it even gets started? So what do? Well, we try to negotiate a merger of kingdoms. You see, the shocking thing after the wedding day is we realized we were wrong. We were both thinking the other person was going to come into our kingdom and be subject to us. But we were both thinking that. And we were wrong. So we negotiate a merger of the kingdoms, and sometimes this takes years. Some of you have been doing this for decades, still trying to negotiate a merger of the two kingdoms. So we have one bathroom, but we have separate closets because, well, we need closet kingdoms. They have to be separate. Some of you have separate bank accounts because you want to keep your finances separate. Why? Because you want to keep control over the money you bring in and the money he brings in. And we have our own cars in one garage. We have our own special little cars, our chariots, if you will. We have our own thrones. Certain chairs that we like to sit in the house, and don't get in my chair, that's my chair. And we're merging the kingdoms, but in a much more esoteric way. There are negotiations that take place about the way we use our time. And so shortly after you get married, or maybe even in the courting time, the gentleman will say to the lady, you know what, something you need to know about me. This is something about the way I do my life. And that is, I watch college football on Saturday. It's just the way I am. I've done it my whole life. I did it with my dad when I was growing up, all the way through college. I would wake up, I would watch college football, and I would go to sleep, and I'd eat some pizza somewhere in there. That's what I did. And so all I want to do on Saturday is watch college football. And you know what? In fact, that's what I'm going to do. From now on, I'm going to watch college football on Saturday. Just on Saturday. I just want to watch college football. It's not too much to ask. She says, okay, well, I'll give you that. You know what I did? When I was in college and all the boys were watching college football, me and the girls, we went shopping. So you can watch football all day Saturday if you want, and I'm going to go shopping all day Saturday. Does that work for you? And he's like, oh, yeah, I think that works for me. Yes, and we've negotiated a truce. We figured out a way for a while to make it work. Until, of course, ESPN starts showing college football on every day of the week. Now we've got a problem because our bank account can't afford that. And negotiating over time doesn't work. It stops working. So we try to overlap. And as we overlap, we experience tension. And where there is tension, there is conflict. And where there is conflict, many times there is combat. And if you look behind the conflict in your marriage, you will find either a king, a queen, or both protecting their circle, protecting their turf, where conflict comes from. And then the kids come along. I mean, we were doing okay. We were starting to merge this relationship. We were starting to figure it out. And then the kids come along, and they are such unruly subjects, these children, are they not? They don't do what we tell them to do. And here's what we start to discover. We start to discover that we have some kingdom ideas about our kids. We want our kids to be like little princes and princesses from our kingdom. And sometimes my circle is different from her circle, and her circle is different from my circle. And so we start fighting about things like how much allowance to give the little prince. Well, we didn't get any allowance in my kingdom when I was growing up. Well, I got $50 a week in my kingdom, and that's what... No! There's more conflict. Because we're trying to live in our circle in the context of a relationship that cannot survive circles. We're trying to merge two kingdoms. And if you're still trying to merge two kingdoms, your marriage has not yet taken flight, I can promise you. And as long as you continue to try and merge two kingdoms, it never will. In Matthew 12, Jesus said this. He wasn't speaking about marriage, but it certainly applies. Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. Pretty straightforward. I'm in my circle. I'm in charge. As long as one, two, or both of us continue to think that, our marriage will never flourish. Some of you have a broken marriage in your background. You've gone through a divorce. And as you're listening to me describe this, you're thinking, you know, that's what happened to us. That's what happened. My kingdom was so valuable to me, it became more valuable to me than our marriage. I prioritized my personal kingdom over our marriage. And it cost us. Kingdom building and marriage are mutually exclusive, my friends. They are incompatible. You need to choose. You got to choose, will I build my personal kingdom or will I build a great marriage? That's your choice. So how do we build a great marriage as opposed to building a personal kingdom? Well, you know how they've started to do these memory verse songs? They're not all that new. In fact, I remember when I was a young man, one of the first memory verse songs I can ever remember. And it went something like this. And as soon as you remember it, I want you to join in. I don't want to sing a solo. Okay? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, remember, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia. Remember? Okay, some of you haven't sung that for 30 years, but you remember it. It's a terrible song. It's a great verse. Great verse. Listen, seek first his kingdom. Seek first his kingdom. That's different from in my circle, I'm in charge. Totally different. In fact, it's the exact opposite. Seek first his kingdom is the exact opposite of seek first my kingdom. Kingdom building and marriage are incompatible. They're mutually exclusive. If you want a great marriage, leave your kingdom behind and live in his together. Let me say it this way. Erase your circle and embrace his. Erase your circle and embrace his. Because you see, there's another kingdom. It's a bigger circle. Sometimes we forget about it, but it's there, and it's real, and it's magnificent. Kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. It's the kingdom that Christ brought. It's the kingdom he longs us to live in. And the only way we can truly experience it together as a couple is to erase our circles so we can embrace his. Turn to Matthew chapter 4. This is the end of the temptation passage when Jesus was tempted by the evil one, by Satan. And it says, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And so he showed him, he took him on a tour of the world. Look at the magnificent kingdom here and the magnificent kingdom here. Look at all these amazing kingdoms. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. I'll give you all these kingdoms, just bow down and worship me. Now, what's ironic about this? What's ironic about this is that Satan didn't even have these kingdoms to give. He doesn't own these kingdoms. Satan's been lying this lie forever. This notion of being in charge in a kingdom is an idea born in hell, my friends. Satan promises, but he can't deliver. He can't deliver you a kingdom. Being in charge inside your circle, listen, being in charge inside your circle is actually a complete fantasy. You have no control whatsoever. It is completely an illusion of control. You can't dictate anything, even in your little circle. And if you believe you can, Satan's got you hoodwinked. What Jesus said to him in verse 10. Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Satan, I'm not chasing kingdoms, said the King of Kings. Woo, irony. If ever there has been one person who had the privilege and the right to chase after kingdoms, it was the king. And he says, no, I'm not here to chase after kingdoms. It's not what my kingdom is about. My kingdom is completely other. It's totally upside down. It's different from anything you've ever seen before. Well, what's it about? Well, I'm going to worship the Lord our God, and I'm going to serve him. That's what the kingdom's about. It's about aligning my life around what he wants, worship, and being available to live for him instead of for myself.
Pete Briscoe and the first half of his message, Merging Two Kingdoms. Pete comes right back to finish out today with one last insight. The Secrets to a Successful Marriage is a new 6-part series from Pete Briscoe that helps you take your marriage to a divine level of fulfillment and satisfaction. The series is our way of saying thanks for your donation to help Tell Me the Truth stay on the air, helping you and others around the world experience life in Christ. Call today, 1-800-889-5388, 1-800-889-5388, or give online at tellmethetruth.org. Now, let's hear from Pete one last time.
It's about aligning my life around what he wants, worship, and being available to live for him instead of for myself. And the disciples asked Jesus, hey, teach us how to pray. And Jesus said, okay, pray like this: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You're a hallowed God. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want what's going on in heaven to happen here. We want your kingdom to burst through the kingdoms of this world. Most of us live as though we're praying, my kingdom come, my will be done. It's the complete antithesis of what we are called to live as believers. I ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 18. That's another example of erase your circle and embrace his. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and they asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Do you see the irony in this? Who's the greatest? What they're asking is, who's going to have the most impressive circle in your kingdom, Jesus? And Jesus just shakes his head. He's like, there's no circles in my kingdom. Circles in my kingdom, mutually exclusive. Didn't work that way. He called a little child to him and he placed the child among them. And he said, truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You know who the greatest in this circle is? The one who humbles himself or herself like a child. Who replaces this sense of self-importance with deliberately choosing a posture of subordination and surrender. Erase your circle and embrace his. He teaches us over and over and over again. But how do we do it? How do we, first of all, erase our circles? Well, I'm going to give you a little homework. I'm going to ask you this week to spend some time erasing your circle and embracing his. Erasing your circle individually, embracing his together. Let me walk you through what this might look like. I'm going to spend a little time alone with the Lord to erase my circle. And this might take a little time because some of you have been living inside your circle for a really long time under the illusion that you're in control. So you're going to spend a little time with the Lord. Maybe you'll journal, grab your Bible, and just sit down and say, all right, Lord, my heart's desire is to erase my circle. I don't want to live this way anymore. I know that to try to control things is the flesh. I want to live in the flesh. I want to live in the spirit. I want to be available to you working in my life and in my marriage. And so I'm going to make this moment, this day, the day when I choose to erase my circle of rulership. I no longer want to live under the illusion that I'm in control.
Pete Briscoe, and today's Telling the Truth. Right now, when you call and give to help Tell Me the Truth stay on the air, helping you and others around the world experience life in Christ. We'll say thanks with a new marriage series from Pete called The Secrets to a Successful Marriage. No matter how long you've been married or how good you might think your marriage is, this series can help make your relationship both with God and your spouse even stronger. Call 1-800-889-5388 and ask for Secrets to a Successful Marriage when you give. 1-800-889-5388. Tuesday, more of Pete's message about how couples can overcome the battle for control as two individuals come together as one in marriage. Listen tomorrow and experience life with us here on Telling the Truth.